time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Here we go, midweek, 8th of July. Joining us, News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reed, who's clocking in a busy day. How are you, Scott?
I'm just great. I'm $343 billion worth of awesome.
That's great. Look forward to your invoice. Joining us as well, good to have you back, Andrea Barrett, president of the Canadian Black Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. So we were speaking with John Ehrlichman from BNN Bloomberg, and I was asking him to put a feeling to this deficit, this projection of $343 billion. Scott, is it awesome? Does it feel awesome? How does it feel for you, really?
You know what? It's kind of predictable. First of all, I spent a lot of time at finance back in the 1990s under Paul Martin, and I will tell you my immediate interpretation of the specific number is this is the high water line. This is actually what the government believes that it will spend less than, and it's putting it out there so that it can establish a high water line mark and it can come underneath it. But, you know, it also tells us that the fundamental task of government in this really bizarre and unpredictable period is to spend what it has to spend, and then we'll figure it out from there. And that's not just our boat. That's the boat that the United States is in, the United Kingdom, France, Spain, every other major economy in the OECD, and that's just life. And so If you don't like what we're doing, I hear you, but suggest an alternative because there ain't one.
Yeah, I wonder what that alternative is. I would love to hear from the critics on what number they would come up with a deficit projection. But Andrea, how would you describe this boat that Scott says we're in?
You know what? I agree with Scott. I saw an article earlier that said, you know, Ottawa took the debt so the Canadians wouldn't have to. So we didn't have to go into our wallets and like rack up our credit cards. I think what else could they do? And I kind of disagree with Scott in this respect. They don't know this number could be underinflated. It could be worse than we really know. We haven't taken in enough revenue and taxes. We're not making enough money. This could be worse than we think. They had no other choice. It is what it is.
Scott, I want to come back to you for a little bit of a follow-up question, because you can't help but notice the difference in tone when you hear Doug Ford speak today about, you know, negotiating behind the scenes, trying to get money, when you hear Toronto Mayor John Tory trying to get money from the province, from the feds, as he said on The Rush a few minutes ago. I don't really care where it comes from. I don't care if mom and dad aren't getting along. We just need the money. Was it inevitable that we'd all be kumbaya at the beginning in survival mode? You know, party color didn't matter. But now is the time when we start to get a little bit prickly because we're trying to figure out where the cuts are coming from and who's going to pay what, where, and when?
Yes, but all that's going to melt. So here's my view. Ultimately, and I'm going to get really wonky, so I'm going to apologize. But ultimately, what's going to happen is this is going to affect federalism. You're like, oh my God, Scott, say it isn't so. But I think it will affect federalism in this way. The federal government is going to say, you know what, guys, I'm going to write you a big check. I'm going to write you a check. It's going to be huge. It's going to be bigger than anybody else has projected, because we have to create childcare spaces. We have to expand schools. We have to expand the physical infrastructure of schools. We have to actually support a whole pile of municipalities who do not have the ability to finance themselves any longer, and we can't have service cuts in an environment like this. So the federal government's going to say, we're going to spend a whack of cash on transfers. But here's the deal. You have to agree that you're going to spend them in certain priority areas. A bunch of provinces will say, we don't agree with that. Some provinces will say, we'll take the cash and run. And a bunch of the municipalities, like John Tory, will start putting pressure on Doug Ford, if this happens, to say yes to the cash. So I think you're going to end up with an opt-in situation where 4 or 5 months from now, the federal government's going to bring down a budget. They're going to say, we will spend a whack of money, but it's got to go to long-term care. It's got to go to childcare. It's got to go to schools. It's got to go to municipalities. And I need to know that you're going to transfer that money. And the provinces will squawk, and 8 out of 12 of them will, buy in. 8 out of 13.
Let's move on to another story breaking today. As many as 270 seasonal workers with Toronto Parks opting not to return to work due to safety concerns stemming from COVID-19 and specifically PPE. Staff from City's Parks, Forestry, and Rec Division raising concerns about the lack of personal protective equipment and training on how to properly use it, while distribution has been uneven across the city. Recreation staff also saying it can be nearly impossible to practice physical distancing properly given the requirements of their jobs. Now, when it comes to daytime programs, Andrew, in the city, the mayor just mentioning moments ago on The Rush that essentially they canceled everything, they rebuilt it, people were looking forward to this happening, and now here we are today. Was this inevitable that this would happen, do you think?
I agree. So look at schools. We don't have kids back in schools. Are these people the guinea pig? I think I understand we need to do something with our children. We want them to go to camp. But lack of PPE and lack of training, that is very, very serious. We're still in phase two. We haven't hit phase three yet. I don't think if people don't feel comfortable, they shouldn't have to go. The training is essential. We don't want to increase the numbers of the outbreak, and they have to have equipment. No equipment, I wouldn't be going anywhere either.
I was thinking to myself, Scott. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
My question is, how do you define comfortable then? I mean, we're all going to be uncomfortable to a certain level for the next few years, I think. That's what I'm getting used to.
We have to wait. I know it's tough. We are going to feel uncomfortable for a while, but not until we see remarkably better numbers. And like, we're talking about kids. We have to be very careful. Like, look at what we've done with schools. We have to be very, very careful.
And you can speak to this too, Scott, because you've got young kids. And I've noticed this around my neighborhood. Like, I would not see young kids wearing masks, you know, until recently. Now I see families biking. You know, it's the classic mom and dad and three kids, and every kid is wearing a mask. And I think that's maybe the new normal. I don't know what the situation is with your kids when you go out. Like, have your kids bought into the mask thing, or do they find it weird?
Yeah, my older kids do. My younger kids are, they're kind of managing their way. But, you know, I think Andrea's got like a crystal ball. Like, she's predicting the future here in my view, because, you know, the dialogue for the last 2-3 weeks has been, you know what, we have to open up schools, because if we don't open up schools, then parents aren't free to go to work.
Right.
I agree with that. The challenge is that teachers, kids, staff, everyone's going to go, whoa, is it safe? And so there's going to be that backlash. What about PPE availability? So what we're watching with these camps is it is a portent of what's going to happen in the future when it comes to schools, and it's going to be a one hiccupy ride, because there's no clear answer. We don't probably have enough material sourced. And a lot of people are going to feel anxious because, you know, I know the kids won't catch it. You know, they say overwhelmingly the kids won't, right? But kids have grandparents. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
how does all that get balanced out?
My four-year-old is in preschool right now. He went back this week, right? Once the government announced that schools could reopen and daycare could reopen. It took a few weeks for his daycare to figure it out, but they figured it out. And now he gets dragged away by his teachers in hairnets and PPE and gloves, and he's screaming his head off. And his dad thinks it's quite traumatic. And I'm saying this is a reality that we need to accept sooner rather than later, right? I also think about the essential workers in grocery stores making $2 an hour more for pandemic pay, putting their themselves at risk, right? Exposing themselves to everyone in that grocery store. You know, it's different walks of life have to deal with different realities. But I wonder if we hesitate, how long we're going to have to hesitate, and how much of a financial hit that's going to take. Not just financial, you know, kids going back to school, it's really important for their own personal growth, mental health, structure, scheduling.
Yeah.
I could keep going on about it. I don't know. I don't know when the right time is. It seems like there might not be a right time. Yeah, we don't. No one wants to
become
Florida. You're right, Scott.
What if we see infection rates skyrocket as a consequence?
Yeah,
that's
what you're saying, right? Like,
that's when these judgments get super hard.
Not worth it.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out what is worth it, right?
On a significantly lighter note, earlier this afternoon at 4:15, we were chatting with one of the owners of La Palette in Toronto. about the fact that, you know, he's sort of had to change his business model to incorporate sort of rare wines, wines you can't normally find at the LCBO. We obviously know that with Cafe Tio and with the updated takeout laws allowing alcohol to be purchased for delivery, the question now becomes, and I'll start with you, Andrea, on this one, is it a law that we just don't take back at this point, that we need businesses, as we talked about, you know, the economy coming back over the next few years? Is it bars and restaurants that really need to rely on that sort of curbside takeaway and the ability to sell alcohol? Do they need to keep that moving forward?
I quite like this story, and I quite like wine. This is fantastic. Here was a business that took a pivot.
Yeah.
They, you know, were down and out, and they saw an opportunity, and now they serve rare wine. I think this, we need to keep this going, and it's too late. The Pandora's box is already open. We can't go back and rescind this law. This is great. I love the new business model. Anything that helps businesses be successful and expand into new areas, I'm all for.
Scott, have you actually ordered alcohol as well as food from anywhere?
No, I haven't, to be honest. I haven't. But that's because I'm so insanely well-stocked. I'm so surrounded by alcohol at all times that it never occurs to me to reach out. But you're like, I'm with Andrea completely, 100%. You can't take it back, man. It's like when you're in grade 7 and your mom says, okay, you can stay up to midnight. And then, like, you know, whatever, there's some kind of family argument. She says, okay, now we're taking it back to 11. No, no, that's gone now. 11 is gone. No, you know, takeout alcohol, it's gone. It's done. It's over. It's midnight. It's midnight and mom, and that thing is done now, and you can't take it back.
Let's... Yeah, just send me a bottle of red. I'm ready.
Well, it's interesting too, guys, is, you know, much like seeing, you know, alcohol in grocery stores, it didn't become, you know, the crazy full-on stampede the moment that Freshco opened every morning for people to blast in and buy booze. So I see this being the same. But if we flip this as well, pot shops today have found out that they will no longer be able to do delivery. They will no longer be able to do curbside pickup. Does it seem fair that one can do it and one can't? Are they not essentially the same legal service, Andrea?
The alcohol one was easier for me to answer. I think, you know what? I think you're right. They are essentially the same. What we can do for one, we should be encouraging for the other. They're both legal products. There's no reason we should be treating them differently.
So, Scott, have you ever ordered weed with your meal? I'm just kidding. What do you think?
No, I use my buddy's guy. I'm such a loser. I don't even use my guy. I use my buddy's guy, and I'm not getting, I don't want to rob my buddy's guy of his livelihood. So I haven't gotten into that yet.
So your feelings on curbside, should they be able to continue to do it and delivery as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure the business model is actually going to be as persistent as we think once, you know, if hopefully things can open up a little bit more. But, you know, I guess so. You know, like, let me put it this way. In the current environment of uncertainty, I wouldn't be taking things back. I would be permitting things to sustain and then seeing it. Now, if you really want a business model that will rejuvenate retail and get people into stores, permit through the liquor laws people to drink in stores. You put booze in reatments and people are going to be shopping off the rack. That's the strategy.
Oh, it's the Vegas shopping mall model. I gotta tell you,
Reitman's is like an old reference, right? Like, I'm an old man, I think.
No, that's okay. No, but when I think about drinking in retail, I think about being in Vegas and how much easier it was to wait for my wife outside of the store with a cold Corona. It's just that much easier. Of course we can go look at a few more stores. Why not? Scott Reed, Andrea Barrett, thank you both so much.
Thanks. Take care.
Have a great night, guys.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.